Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, September 18th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 6, the second paragraph, that starts with the mind and body, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Lois P., 12 Traditions, Kathy S. The reader of the text this morning is Jordan L., and page 164 reader is Shelley E. Our backup reader is Sherry M. The reference numbers for Thursday, September 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 15,377. That's 15377. And for this morning, Friday, September 18th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number was 15,384. That's 15384. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lisa E.S., and Betsy H. will do our announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., happily recovered in New York. Here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, and have a wonderful day, everyone. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. I will now ask Kathy S. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our group leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 6, the second paragraph, beginning with the mind and body, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Jordan L. to begin reading. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be on the line and abstinent with you all this morning. So the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms. For mine endured this agony 2 more years. Sometimes I stole from my wife's slender purse, and the morning terror and madness were on me. Again, I swayed dizzily before an open window or the medicine cabinet where there was poison, cursing myself for a weakling. There were flights from city to country and back as my wife and I sought escape. Then came the night when the physical and mental torture was so hellish, I feared I would burst through my window, sash and all. Somehow I managed to drag my mattress to a lower floor, lest I suddenly leap. A doctor came with a heavy sedative. Next day found me drinking both gin and sedative. This combination soon landed me on the rock. People feared for my sanity. So did I. I could eat little or nothing when drinking, and I was 40 pounds underweight. And actually, what strikes me this morning is that first sentence about the mind and body being marvelous mechanisms. So yesterday we read about oblivion, and that is the sort of final stage of this, right? Like when my disease progresses far enough along that I am compulsively overeating for oblivion. At that point, like, my spirit is pretty much dead. This is in my experience, right? my spirit is pretty much dead. I got, like, no soul, man. I can say and do things that I wouldn't normally. I can eat copious amounts of food, obviously. I can wreak havoc in my life and the lives of others and not comprehend it, you know? I think that's what the doctor's opinion is talking about, actually. when it talks about us having sort of lost all things human, we almost become like inhuman at the oblivion stage. and so in order to like endure this, the mind and body kind of have to shut down too, you know? And at this point, we're just like kind of running on ego and disease, and that's it, for survival, basically. but I do, I like Bill's language here. It's quite dramatic, which I tend to relate to, right? About bursting through windows and dragging mattresses and whatnot. that's how it was, you know, like at that point in the disease, I am zeroed in on me and me only. There is nothing else in my life. It has shrunk to the point where it's just me and the food. And that's all I'm worried about, you know. me and the food. Me, my ego, and the food. and the bit about people fearing for my sanity, I mean, at that point, I've kind of lost all things human. I've lost everything worthwhile. I'll wrap up. So, So people look at me and they're like, geez, George, what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to get out of this? Soon we'll come to a moment of clarity where I see that I can't get out of it. There's nothing I can do, you know? So anyway, that's all I got this morning.
Thank you so much, Jordanelle. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And so now I'd like to open up the lines, and if people would like to share, we're on page 6, the second paragraph, where it begins with the mind and body, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Christina
B. Irene B.
Liz T.
Irene B.
Christina J.
And I got Liz T.
Christina J.
Donna.
Irene B.
Christina J. I got you, Irene.
Sherry.
Donna B.
Did you get me, Christina J?
Was that Sherry M?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Yep. Got you, Christina. So I have Irene B., Liz T., Christina J., Sherry M. Who did I miss?
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay. All right, let's start with that lineup. We're going to start with Irene B., followed by Liz T., and if you could give us the state that you're from, we'd appreciate that, so members might be able to contact you if they would like to. Go ahead. Good morning, Irene. Star 1 to unmute, Irene.
Ah, thank you so much. That was great. Hi. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I don't know whether I love or I hate this paragraph because if I allow myself to feel, it takes me back to my worst time in my disease. And I don't know what that worst time is because the entire 40 years that I was in bulimia, it was hell. But the 17 years prior in compulsive overeating were pretty horrific as well. Not so much because of the food, but because of the events that occurred during that period. I'm very
heavy in my heart because people feared for my sanity. What comes to mind is after a suicide attempt, my dad taking me to a mental hospital and committing me there against my will. And I was so angry because I didn't want to live anymore. I was done. There was no hope for me. But that was the beginning, because that's when after that I went to the first eating disorder treatment center from there, from a mental institution. I had them transfer me. I had heard that there was a place where they were treating eating disorders. But I'm just so full of emotion, and I'm thankful for that because I don't feel my emotions. And I'm remembering what it was like to be in the hell that I lived. And I was bulimic, and I didn't know that. And I made my sister bulimic. I didn't make her, but, yeah, I told her. That's what I did. I didn't mean to. And one day she said, she was watching Donahue, and she said, "Ire, Ire." That's my name in Spanish. Little, well, my short name in Spanish. "There are other people like us who do this." I thought I was the only one. I thought she and I were the only one who did this despicable, disgusting behavior. And I was without hope. And I'm so grateful that in all the eating disorder programs, they taught me what they needed to teach me. They helped me with what they needed to help me, but they couldn't help me with the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. I didn't get that until I came to the 12 steps 3 years ago. And for that, I'm grateful, and I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. We'll now have Liz T. share, followed by Christina J. And Liz, if you could give us the state where you're from, that would be great. Good morning, Liz.
Sure. Hi. Good morning. This is Liz T. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I'm just looking at so many spots in this paragraph, but the part about I sought escape, the physical and mental torture was so hellish. And also, you know, people feared for my sanity. And I can relate after a brief but very dip back into the food several weeks ago. I'm back through the steps. My step one and two experience was very painful. A lot of ugly crying. complete surrender for me was not, you know, skipping through the tulips. I had been holding on to alcoholic ingredient, you know, with the claw marks on it, I guess. I had put it down 98%, but I was still dabbling in it, you know, like 2%. And like the big book says, our results are nil until we let go absolutely. So I have that experience for my own personal experience with that. Experience of the first 100 in this book apparently wasn't enough for me. I had to experience it for myself. And, you know, the seeking escape, you know, all of the things human that I've sought for escape that never suffice, that it needs to be something larger than all of my attempts of human aid. I need to have access to that power. And, my sponsor let me work in step two a little longer than the previous time, and I really felt myself referring to that flimsy reed, you know, what we know as God, and I leaned on the fellowship, and I made a lot of calls and a lot of new contacts, and that may have not happened if I wasn't in that sort of distress and pain, misery and agony, and I did cry out to God in my third step for help, and I just am grateful to be here today, and, you know, the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, and I put my mind and body through this agony for years. And I knew the solution. I knew the big book, but it was a decision of the heart. And I feel like this is what Bill is going through with the progression of his disease here. He's known it in his head for a long time, but it's starting to make an impression on his heart. And that jump point of you can't live with it, can't live without it. The food or the alcohol is no longer fun. You know that if it's still fun, I'm probably not done. And I'm seeing that in Bill here, that he's in the oblivion
time
piece, and there's no more fun in it. It's the vicious cycle. With that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz T. Christina J., will you share with us now, followed by Sherry M.? Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. This paragraph aches with sadness and just horror. To me, it's the descent into a deeper level of hell with the words terror and madness, physical and mental torture, agony, seeking escape, combination that landed him on the rocks. Over and over again, through a period of about 50 years, I just am shocked when I think 50 years, I was washed up on the rocks, each time heavier and more desperate and lost. In those moments, I was scared to death and insane with the denial of the fear that saturated me from the surface of my skin to the marrow of my bones. I would wearily get up, start again with a new diet of hope, the bigger and bigger clothes that I could hide in. How I felt late in the night. My body was in agony from the pain, my toes burning, my knees beginning not to work. The sitting up for hours at night with the acid reflux pressure so bad I thought I would have a heart attack. Having to continue to function in the world like I was okay, put a smile on my face and my big clothes and face the world as I sat in the parking lots, convenience stores in between. And I was, I was kind of in between the relief and the pleasure of my substances, seeking escape as the food squashed down the sickening denial that I didn't know how to stop, what to do. I mean, it was when we don't know what to do and how to stop. I mean, I was constantly searching that survival in me. As someone spoke on the earlier meeting, we have survival. That's an instinct. I'm so grateful that Bill had survival to go down to the lower floor. He was still alive in there. The misery as the terror and the madness of this disease progressed, as the physical and mental torture became more and more hellish. But I kept trying and I kept searching. And today, after such a long journey, I have slightly over 60 days. God finally graced me. Now, this was God, not me. As he felt my willingness to go through the awful pain of putting down my substances, one of which was coffee, a demon that was always in me, bringing me back to the food. It was a gateway drug for me. I just couldn't get neutral with food when I was drinking coffee. But today the food is neutral, out of the way. And what happens then? It allows me to grow leaps and bounds in the emotional and spiritual recovery as I continue to work this program, this way of life that is the gateway to freedom from the vicious, unforgiving descent into hell. Please, God, I don't want to go back. For today, I will hold your hand, stay close to you, and be of service to my fellows. I love you guys. Stay strong. Stay close to God. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Sherry M. will now share, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Dawn. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone who does service on this line. This paragraph, I have so many things highlighted and underlined, and I just wanted to share. I don't often share on these morning meetings. I listen every day to 2 or 3 hours worth of them, and they save my life. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms. This is so true. Mine endured this agony. So I just looked up agony this morning because that word really stood out to me. Suffering, distress, torment, intense struggle, misery, pain, torture. I have agony in program. Also, I thought my problem was just the refined sugar and I couldn't, you know, stop eating other things. So then I cursed myself. Like there must be something wrong with me. So what I have written here, as my sponsor at the time pointed out, was that self-punishment by cursing myself never worked. to stop this disease. And then right after, he's talking about geographics. There were flights from here to there, going on trips or, you know, escaping, or they're trying to escape my reality didn't help either. People fear for my sanity. So being single my whole life, it was just me fearing for my sanity. My husband has only ever seen me in recovery and doesn't know what it was like for me. But at the end, and this was in program, when I couldn't stop eating skinny popcorn and corn chips, I thought I should videotape this because I felt so insane around food that I could not stop. I did not want to eat handfuls and handfuls of popcorn, and I watched myself in the mirror as I was killing myself and unable to stop my hand from going in my mouth and not knowing what was wrong with me, you know, capable in all other areas of my life. But when it comes to this disease, nothing, human power. There's no human power who can stop this. So I'm so grateful today that I have found all of my alcoholic foods. I have identified those all because I found a vision for you and I've had help doing that. And that with the power greater than myself and doing my inventories all day has led me to be almost a year recovered and having suffered in Overeaters Anonymous for 15 years of this hellish torture. Maybe it wasn't every day like it was when I came in, but it was mentally getting worse and worse and worse, and I just wanted to lock myself up to stop, and now I don't have to. I can be a free woman with the help of this program and my higher power, and I don't have to beat myself up because I have a deadly disease, and I'm so grateful for all of you, Pat.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. Now we'll have Donna B. And following Donna, I'm going to open up the lines for more shares this morning. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna, spelled D-A-N-A, B, in Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And over the last couple of weeks, as the moderators have instructed us to share our state, and I've been inspired to share the spelling of my name, I've been hearing from so many people about, in response to my sharing about volume eating. So I wanted to take this opportunity to talk a little bit more about it in the context of this paragraph. So I came into OA in 2001 eventually found my way to the study of the Big Book and became abstinent from my alcoholic foods. But during that period of time, I continued to volume eat my quote unquote abstinent foods. I one night ate eight red peppers, and I had red juice all over my lips, like I looked like a clown. And I actually went to a face-to-face OA meeting looking like that. I ate one night an entire Costco-sized bag of frozen blueberries, and again stained my teeth and my fingers and my lips blue. And my funniest tale of volume eating is the night that I ate an entire Chuck roast. And as a married woman, I call that the night I had my affair with Chuck. A lot of people told me that it was okay because the food was abstinent. But the thing was, I was still experiencing that pain and remorse. I was constantly cursing myself for being a weakling. I experienced the torture and the hell and the fear. So although I wasn't eating my alcoholic ingredients, because of the volume eating, I was still dying on the inside and still had that question of whether I even wanted to be alive or not. And this I endured for years, many years, before someone finally said to me, "It is bad. You are killing yourself. You are not abstinent until you put down the volume eating." And when I put down the volume eating, it is then that I think I feared for my sanity most, because I felt like I was dying. Every night between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., I struggled. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Now, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And so now I open up the lines. We're on page 6, the second paragraph, beginning with the mind and body. We're reading through and commenting on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Kayla G.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah S.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Aaliyah
S.
Kayla G. I got Penny L. C., Aaliyah S., and Jody E. Who did I miss?
Mandy.
Mandy. And what's your initial, Mandy?
S.
Mandy S.
Shelly E.
Shelly E.
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay, let's stop there. I've got Penny LC, Aaliyah S., Jody E., Mandy S., Shelly E., and Patty T. We'll start with Penny LC, and if you'd give us the state that you're from, that'd be wonderful. Followed by Aaliyah S. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I can relate to being so caught in this web, the web that I created for myself, the misery and the agony and the pain, the torture. You know, I mean, it was self-created. But this disease and this disease is relentless. It wanted me dead, but it would be happy and satisfied with me being miserable, and which I was. But this is all the insanity of it, you know. But I so appreciate when it talks about the mind and body being marvelous mechanisms, because when I look back and I realize that my body is, 65 plus pounds lighter and has been for years. My mind is freer. I have a power greater than myself that guides me today. And with that, I'm able to live a whole new life. And so even though I can think back to some of the worst of where I was, I can be grateful today, so grateful that I have a new life, a new way of existing in this world. I have a new purpose, to focus on what my higher power would have me be and do, and in that way be of service and be able to share this so that others can escape their insanity the same way I've been blessed to be able to, one day at a time, with a lot of gratitude. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. We'll now have Aaliyah S. share, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Aaliyah.
Good morning. My name is Aaliyah S. in California, recovering, new, returning after a really long relapse, so I can definitely relate to this paragraph. What caught my attention was that Bill said he was cursing himself for being a weakling. I don't know how many times during this last year of relapse I've cursed myself for being a weakling. And I think what is making me share on the line this morning is that the shame of thinking that I'm a weakling and that I'm not strong enough and I don't have enough willingness and on and on and on and on keeps me so separated from the fellowship, which I have found that in the beginning when I'm disconnected from power and I put down the food and I'm white knuckling it, until I gain access to that power by working the steps. I need the fellowship and to use all the tools. But this shame, like, I've asked probably a dozen people to sponsor me in this last year and have never talked to them again after a binge. And I don't, like, I have their number in my phone and I am so ashamed to call them. And I know that I need you guys to get through this time until I can gain access to that power that can put me in a position of neutrality around the food. And I think that's why I wanted to share this morning, to feel like I'm a part of OA and that I'm not just someone on the outside. Like, I wanted to feel a part of this morning. So that's why I wanted to share and just relate to this paragraph. And I can definitely relate to the progressionness of this disease. I didn't believe it before, but it's getting harder. The binges are getting harder. Everything is getting harder, and I'm 38 years old, and the weight has come on more, and it's the isolation, the loneliness, the despair, my relationships, all of them, every single relationship I've had has been torturous and failed this year. I don't know if it's 2020 or the compulsive overeating, but I have so much work to do, so many amends to make from just being in my disease, and I need your help. And so I just wanted to put my name out there and let you all know that I need you, and I thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Aaliyah S. And what state were you from, Aaliyah?
California.
California. Very good. All right. Now we'll have Jody E. share, and if you could share your state with us as well, that'd be great. Thank you. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California, where I actually see blue sky and white puffy clouds this morning instead of smoke. I'm so happy. So when I read this paragraph, it's just 2 more years. Oh, my God. How did he go through that? It was already so bad. My bottom was not that low. I have a relatively high bottom compared to Bill's, I would say. But it was low enough for me, thank God. I didn't have to go lower than I went. You know, it takes what it takes for each one of us. And when we become willing to put down the food, the recovery can begin. And I had to know that recovery was possible, which I did know thanks to this book and to Overeaters Anonymous. But it took me a long time after finding Overeaters Anonymous to really become willing to put down my alcoholic food. I had to pray for that willingness. It didn't just come. I had to pray for it. I just wanted to mention, too, that this paragraph says that he says I managed to pull my mattress down to a lower floor. Well, if you read Lois's book about their story together, you'll learn that she was the one who brought the mattress down to the basement. There's a wonderful book written by Lois called Lois Remembers. It tells Bill's story in much more detail, and I highly recommend it. It's very entertaining. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. And now we'll have Mandy S. followed by Shelley E. Good morning, Mandy. If you could tell us your state this morning, too, that'd be great.
Okay. Hi, this is Mandy S. I'm in Chicago, Illinois. And so this paragraph is just amazing. And it's true, the mind and the body are marvelous mechanisms, because when I was in the grips of my insanity and my disease, you know, I'm surprised that I'm still alive, to be honest. I put my body through hell, and I tried so hard to stop, and, you know, nothing worked until I got into this program. So the fact that I'm even on this meeting talking is kind of a miracle, because I basically, you know, my disease had me killing myself. And, you know, I had so many humiliating things happen during my illness. You know, like I got so big that like I got kicked off like a roller coaster because I couldn't fit on it. And, you know, like I got like stuck in like a whirling gate at a baseball stadium because I, you know, my disease progressed so bad. And I still, like Bill, I still didn't even change for a couple of years after that because my denial was so deep and my disease was so strong that I thought everybody else was the problem, because this disease has us thinking that everybody else is the problem. The denial is so potent, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I am just so grateful that I have this program to keep me sane and to keep me accountable and to keep me humble. Because when I'm getting out of myself and I'm helping other people, it's just one more day that I have away from being that person again. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mandy S. Now we'll have Shelley E. share with us, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. Shelley E., recovered in Northern Michigan. I wanted to share on this because I don't normally share, but I wanted to share the one sentence, the wife's slender purse that sometimes he stole from. Well, the first time I read this, and it was only 3 years ago, I thought, I immediately went to the kids' Halloween party, and I thought, oh, yeah, you know, I did do that. I probably ate a lot. I know I ate a lot of their Halloween candy. And then I thought, oh, yeah, how about that last piece of birthday cake? So, I mean, I could go surface on it for a long time. But then what I thought about was the time I stole from my children. The time that I could have spent on that roller coaster with them. The time at night that I put them to bed quickly so that I could get to the food. And I can't get that back. So I just keep being reminded of that, that it's much more for me than those bites. It's time. It was precious time that I can't get back. And I also will say that the people feared for my sanity. While I didn't care if I lived or died, I wouldn't put myself in the suicidal. I never attempted, but I really didn't care if I lived or died. But I know my children and my husband feared for my health. And the everyday of that, I know, is very hard. And so I am, I really am not, I don't know, I'm still working through the feelings of that. But anyways, I'm Shelley E. I'm from Northern Michigan, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you so much, Shelley E. Now we'll have Patty T. share, and then I'm going to open up the line for someone who else would like to share. Patty T., please share with us this morning.
Hi, thank you so much for your service, and hi, this everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California, and the smoke is taking my voice, but like everybody else in Southern California, I am so happy and overjoyed to see the sky today. I can't really add much more to what others have said about this hopelessness. I was in the food from such a very early age. The relapses that occurred before I came into program were completely covered by my inability to feel, because the food still worked. I didn't feel the remorse. I would feel the satisfaction or, oh, not again, I got to go back to Weight Watchers, whatever. But I just, you know, or I would go on another fast or I'd do whatever, you know. And I kept thinking that it was just about the weight. And I had no idea that I was insane. I really didn't. This part where it says people worried about my sanity, I didn't have that experience because I had extricated myself from relationships completely. I lived alone. I still live alone, except I have dogs and cats. But I had no emotional or even a social connection to other people. I got up, I ate, I went to work. I ate. I took lunch. I ate. I went back to work. I ate. And I got home, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate. That's all I did. And it says this about people's fear for my sanity. I overheard one of my attorneys, I was a legal secretary, and I overheard a young woman who was about 28 say to another one, "Oh, my God, Patty was so stressed today, I was afraid she was going to have a heart attack because I weighed so much." They were concerned about my health, that I would just drop dead from stress. And, you know, I look back at that today, and I am so grateful. 6 years of relapse, you know, he talks about he had two more years of that hell. I finally became awakened to the fact that I had a disease, and then I relapsed after 5 years of that. And then I had 6 years of chronic relapse to remind me that I am not in control. I have no power over this disease. And through that process of relapse and coming back the other way, I've been able to find a God, connect to a God, and relate, have a relationship with my higher power that I can use today to seek the power that I do not possess. And I'm just grateful for that. So keep coming back. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Now we have time for another share. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, if you would like to give us your name and initial.
Kayla C.
Try that again.
No,
Kayla.
Kayla? Yes.
And what's your initial, Kayla?
T as in Tom.
Kayla T. Okay, and if you could tell us where you're calling from, that would be great. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning. Kayla T, recovering compulsive overeater, calling in from Golden Valley, Arizona. So, wow, my heart's beating. I haven't shared on this line in quite a long time. The lines that kind of stuck out for me, you know, was the thing that everybody's pretty much touched on, was the cursing myself for a weakling. I am 20 days abstinent today after having 487 days. I found myself right back into the food because I had not quite surrendered several things. And I've heard so many great things this morning that I definitely identify with. And, you know, I'm in that part where I'm not quite cursing myself for a weakling anymore, but that is pretty prevalent still. You know, in talking with my sponsor yesterday, she assured me that it would be okay if I shared the ugly part of this, you know, that for me, I want to be well so that I can transmit something that I, you know, I have. And if I don't, then I want to stay quiet until I get there. And, you know, so I'm just speaking up. And like someone else talked about today, you know, wanting to feel like a part of. And it's really hard for me to connect through phone meetings and Zoom and that type of thing. But I've found nothing more than love, acceptance, fellowship, and camaraderie here. And I know that if I don't utilize this program, that I will treat my loneliness with isolation, and I will end up back in the food. And the other part that I liked was that people feared for my sanity, but then that one little line, it just said, so did I. And when I came back 20 days ago, I was looking around at my four kids and my husband, and I'm in my head very terrified of myself, you know, and really afraid for my sanity and my ability to cope and be present for these children and my marriage, let alone anybody else. And I don't feel that today, you know, just by the surrender that I have come to. And I know because I have tangible life experience with this program that it works. When I allow it to. And so I'm just grateful to be back here today. I'm grateful to be in the presence of you all and that you allow me to be here as broken and mending as I am. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kayla T. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You, where it starts, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only," and then keep you until then. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Good morning, Shelley E. from Northern Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transfer something you haven't. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.